What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 1st, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Baby Blues, Tim Geddes.
Let's hear this. Thank you, cool
guy. Can you believe it's October already?
It's October,
Holy shit.
I can't believe it. Yeah. It's nuts.
The year's gone so quick.
Yeah.
The year's gone real quick. It's going even faster for you. What, this is, what, you have two more days of work and then you're off for like
today,
2 weeks?
Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow night, 1 a.m. is my flight out.
I don't like that one bit. No, no.
13-hour flight.
Yeesh.
5-hour layover, 6-hour flight.
Where are you going first?
Bali, Indonesia.
Well, no, but I mean, you have a layover.
Oh, Taipei.
Oh, jeez.
Thank
Louise.
You so much, Joe.
So Bali and then Japan.
Bali and then Japan. Wow. Tokyo for the
Your first time.
Time
in Tokyo?
Yeah, very, very excited.
Are you more excited for Tokyo or Bali?
Tokyo.
That's not, you can say that. You can say
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You already saw these guys get married
once.
I'm
a little stressed about the Bali stuff, if I'm being honest.
What's wrong with it?
We're going to a jungle. There's a monkey forest.
Okay.
I just don't know about this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
These are things that Tim usually doesn't do.
You know, there's
monkey
a lot of
forests.
This.
I don't see you
she
in it.
She was like, oh man, there's this hike that it starts at 2 a.m. and it goes to sunrise. And I'm like, okay. That's the thing that's happening. I don't know if I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just the timing is a little like weird with Nintendo Switch games. Like,
oh, that's the problem. Okay.
Yeah,
wait, you got you're waiting on
I don't
on
have
some?
Pokemon. I don't have Smash Brothers.
Gotcha.
Speaking of Smash Brothers, Greg.
Yeah,
sorry to go on a tangent here.
No,
Extra Life is coming up, right?
That's right.
November 3rd.
Extra Life 2018 is November 3rd. We'll be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. You can join or donate right now, kindoffunny.com/extralife. Plus, over on youtube.com/kindoffunny, there's a great Extra Life documentary that was made last year about our shenanigans here.
Yeah. What's the chances of us hitting up Mr. Nintendo and being like, hey, look, the kids need this. Give us Smash Brothers. I just want to stream Smash Brothers Ultimate. I know that they've been going to all these conventions and the game has been shown off quite a bit.
Sure.
In a demo form.
We got to stream it at the Inner Sight Championship.
So they don't got anything to hide with these demos. You know what I mean?
I bet you can't get it for hours. I bet you can get, like, maybe we could do a Smash hour.
Whatever they'll give me.
Hey,
24 hours is what I want to ask for.
Can we stream Smash Bros at Extra?
It'll be good.
Life. And I'm putting 11/3.
November 3rd. For the kids. Make sure they know it's for the kids, the big, beautiful kids.
Okay.
Not the small
for
ones.
For charity! Exclamation mark. There we go.
Yeah.
That's how we get things
there,
done.
There it's off.
I'll keep you posted. I'll keep you posted
good.
As it goes. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. We already covered Extra Life. Bam. Done.
Boom.
It's October. Did you know that? Boom. Halloween's coming up. 30 days.
Spooky.
And then, spooky. And then, today, we're brought to you by Third Love and Loot Crate, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
First off, let's talk about Project Stream. You sent this to me. It's written by Catherine Sayo over at Google. We've been working on Project Stream, a technical test to solve some of the biggest challenges of streaming. For this test, we're going to push the limits with one of the most demanding applications for streaming, a blockbuster video game. We've partnered with one of the most innovative and successful video game publishers, Ubisoft, to stream their soon-to-be-released Assassin's Creed Odyssey to your Chrome browser on a laptop or desktop. Starting on October 5, a limited number of participants will be able to play in the latest in this best-selling franchise at no charge for the duration of the Project Stream test. The idea of streaming such graphically rich content that requires near-instant interaction between the game controller and the graphics on the screen poses a number of challenges. When streaming TV or movies, consumers are comfortable with a few seconds of buffering at the start, but streaming high-quality games requires latency measured in milliseconds, with no graphic degradation.
It's true.
The technology and creativity behind these AAA video games is extraordinary, from incredible detail to lifelike movement of the character's skin, clothing, and hair, to the massive scale of the world in which the game unfolds, down to every last blade of grass. Every pixel is powered by an array of real-time rendering technology, artistry, visual effects, animation, simulation, physics, and dynamics. We're inspired by the game creators who spend years crafting these amazing worlds, adventures, and experiences. And we're building technology that we hope will support and empower that creativity. There are limited spaces available in Project Steam, but if you're interested in participating, you can apply on our website. Project Steam is geared towards Stream is geared towards home internet connections capable of 25 megabits per second. And you must be 17 years or older and live in the United States to participate. Other requirements can be found in the Help Center. We're looking forward to what the future of streaming holds and feedback from those participating in Project Stream. Thank you for helping bring streaming to the next level.
Interesting stuff.
Very interesting. Everybody's talked about Google and what are they going to do, and they want to get into games and yada, yada, yada. Well, here we go.
This could be a good way to do it. I mean, they definitely have the infrastructure to be able
water
to...
Water everywhere. It's not my day today.
to be able to push this forward and to be able to make it happen. And again, what's really exciting about this is when we start looking at next generation. PlayStation 5, the next
Project
Xbox.
Project Scarlet.
We're like, there's all these cloud-based gaming things, and this, if they figure this out now, it'd be a really good sign for... an all-digital future coming sooner than we'd expect. Mm. Or at least a future that has an all-digital option.
Sure.
But yeah, this has been done before. I was reading that NVIDIA has some GeForce technology that they've been using that does a similar thing.
Okay.
But having Google on this.
Google being the big thing. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go back, I mean, and I know we're talking about game streaming services, but on live, right? Being there, Gaikai becoming that. Right now, Cog. That thing I have in the closet that I've never turned on, Ninja, that box that is it's a streaming solution for PCs and stuff like that. Like, people are trying to be the first to crack this. Mm-hmm. But if it's Google that can crack it, that's a whole different ball of wax.
And
right?
I think it's great that they're partnering with Ubisoft as well. Like a game like Assassin's Creed is an amazing showcase piece for the technology and if it can work. So I don't know. I think this is something for people to keep their eyes on.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about it. I wonder how many people are going to be into the Project Stream beta, or whatever you want to call it, this first test here with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I'd love to hear reactions of what it is. I'm playing Odyssey, of course. We talked about it at length on the Gamescast. I love it, but it is like just about every other game we talk about, right? Where if the input didn't feel right, I wouldn't want to keep going, right? Yeah. That is a game of timing, whether it's knowing when to parry, whether it's in ship-to-ship combat, you need to have that down right to like talking about with the milliseconds. But again, it's Google, and if somebody's going to have the time, resources, money, energy to put into it and try to figure this out, it could be them.
And that's the thing, is like whatever this is, like whether it's Google or somebody else,
yeah,
when this launches, it needs to be as near flawless as possible, or else it's going to leave a very bad taste in people's mouths, and it's gonna I think push back this being a real thing
sure
potentially a decade. Look at PlayStation Now coming out, and it was such a disaster for so long that people don't think about it as a
viable service,
or thing, something to use. And
well, I think that might be the thing here, though, is like if you keep the footprint super small, mm-hmm. if it is just a few hundred people doing this or whatever it's going to be, however many people are being allowed into Project Stream to start for this one use case.
The beta I think is different. I'm saying, but by the time they launch, by the time like whenever we hear more about Scarlet and that stuff, like it needs to be like, look, this is ready and it's gonna work.
Yeah. Okay. We will all stay tuned, just like you should. Number two. New Red Dead gameplay trailer is out. This isn't news, right? I just wanted to put it on your radar, everybody listening and or watching, that, of course, Rockstar has put out another video about how gameplay works in Red Dead Redemption, confirming you can play the entire thing in first person, confirming it's all crazy. It's the video proof of all the previews you saw last week, I feel.
Yeah.
Of running around, getting fat, getting skinny, getting facial hair, shooting this, that you can go out on raids with your groups, or you can go your what do they call them, jobs, heists. Mm-hmm. You can go do heists, or you can go off and be solo and do all stuff, and it just continues to look amazing.
Yeah, I thought the trailer's use of Will Smith's Wild Wild West was an interesting call.
We're going straight.
I wish they did that. How awesome would that be?
How many mashup for Red Dead Redemption? How many videos were there where people mashed those up? That seems like something that should have happened, but I don't remember seeing those.
I don't know, man.
It's out there now, everybody. Exactly. Everybody right now, Red Dead Redemption 2, October 26th. By November 14th, I want to see a really well-done cut of, hey, here's Wild Wild West, and then we made a music video using the in-game assets, and I wanted to start with this conversation. So here you go. Everybody, check it out. And then you can put your video after that. You know what I mean?
That was good.
That was good. Michael! maybe Mikhail, wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, Greg and Tim. I can't shake the feeling that Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to disappoint a lot of people. Rockstar are on point with their marketing, and the press for the game is universally positive, some calling it an open-world revolution. Now, I'm convinced that the game is going to be great, if not fantastic, but honestly, I'd be surprised if it lived up to the expectations that GTA 5 set commercially. Very clearly, Red Dead Redemption 2 has a slower pace, much less room for goofy shenanigans, both online and offline. And it features a setting that isn't going to be immediately appealing to 100 million people in the same way that modern-day Los Santos is. I feel like we are all riding this hype wave so fucking high, we no longer see what it is that the GTA 5 masses really want. For a lot of them, I think Red Dead Redemption is not going to be it. I think there is a good chance that there is going to be a lot of copies making their way back to GameStop when people don't get the Wild West GTA 5 they thought they were getting. Thoughts? Keep up the good work. Mikhail will say.
I respectfully disagree.
Yeah.
I also want to say that your shirt's fantastic, Greg.
It's Thank a you. Good one. It's one of my favorites.
I think that nobody expects this game to sell better than GTA 5.
Yeah, what is it, $1 billion in 24 hours or whatever GTA 5 did?
That's just not going to happen.
The fact that it's still in the top 10 every goddamn month. Yeah. No, that's not what people are banking on for GTA 5 here. I think in terms of sales, they're banking on it just dwarfing what the original Red Dead did. Or not even the, what Red Dead Redemption 1 did.
Yeah.
Which I think that's going to happen.
Easily. And at the end here he says, they're going to make their way back to games about when people don't get the Wild West GTA 5 they thought they were getting. I do think they're going to get the Wild West GTA 5. I just don't think that that has the same ceiling that GTA 5 did, for all the reasons that you were saying.
Yeah.
I think that the Red Dead Online is going to be the big question for me of how goofy does it get? How much crazy shit do they add? Because that is the stuff that's going to keep people playing for years to come.
Sure.
I'm sure Rockstar has an answer for all of that.
Of course. But to what you're talking about, I doubt it's going to be the customization options you see in GTA 5, right? Of having any car you want, having DeLoreans, having your Batmobiles, like that. Yeah, how do you do that in a Red Dead setting, right? And not sacrifice the authenticity of what you're going for. And that thing is, they could easily do that. Yeah. That's just limited to online.
I think that
they will.
And I think that the online stuff is going to evolve. And I would be very surprised if Rockstar didn't have some, like, crazy out of left field shock of, like, yeah, and then online it's literally, like, we were added cars. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, we have them
from GTA 5. I know that's crazy, but, like, yeah,
but I mean, that is the thing, is they could do whatever they want, right? Yeah. And that is the thing of what GTA Online's success was, that it evolved into what players wanted and, you know, into what people were successful with. And Rockstar's been open about that, right? And talking about, well, you know, we delayed heists forever, but while we were doing that, we were seeing how people were actually using the service and then making content built around that.
Yeah.
So if it is that people get in there and want goofy or crazy or whatever online things, I'm sure you'll see more and more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want more Undead Nightmare.
And I'm sure you'll get it.
Hell yeah, I do. Hell yeah, dude.
I'm interested in where this game is going to fall critically. Like, I think it's going to do really well.
Uh-huh.
Everyone that's played it absolutely loves it, but they haven't played too much of it.
Yeah.
And this is the type of game that's like, all right, is it going to be in that 10 conversation, or is it going to be more of a low 9? Which sounds stupid,
but there's
a big difference.
What do you think would bring it down from what you're seeing? What would be the pain points or the red flags for you?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just think that, you know, we've seen a lot of really well done open world games.
Yeah.
So is it going to be this revolutionary change? I don't think so. And GTA 5 got a lot of tens. You know?
Here's my thing: I have not played Red Dead Redemption 2. I've only watched the trailers and talked to Jared or stuff like that. I feel, you say we've gotten a lot of open world games. From what everybody talks about and the way they present this game, it does feel like this revolution in open world games, where it will be more of, hey, what I want out of them, of like, let's really get lost in the experience, right? Whereas in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I'm playing right now, it is a very much thing of like, I'm going to do a story mission. You know what? Now I'm going to look around for sync points. You know what? Now I'm going to do that. When I look at the Red Dead footage, when I talk to people who played Red Dead, it seems way more of, I'm going to be out in the open west, and I am on my goal to go, you know, to go over here and meet these people. But on the way, that happens, and like, it's all way more organic.
The world feels like it's breathing.
Yeah, it's like the stories are all interwoven in a way that your traditional open world game is.
I guess my thing is, a lot of this sounds very PR-y. It's very just like, hey, we're telling you how to feel about this.
Yeah.
And I think that with the amount of the game that people have played so far, it's like, it's easy to be like, oh, well, they said this and it's here.
Yeah.
So I wonder, as a potentially endless experience, but let's just say 30-hour experience. Is it going to consistently feel that way, or are you going to eventually start to see the video gaminess of it all, where it's just like, all right, well, it's not sync points, but it is the same kind of like
I'm still collecting, doing this thing, whatever then.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I trust them, though. I trust the Rockstar understands what they're doing with it and are going to deliver something that is modern, you know?
Yeah.
And set the standard. Like, what's GTA 6 going to look like? You know?
God knows.
It's insane.
Number three, Atlus CEO and president has stepped down. This is from Brendan Sinclair over at GamesIndustry.biz. Atlus USA president and CEO Naoto Hirauku. God damn, I almost had it right. Hirauku is changing positions within the company after 6 years at the helm, parent company Sega announced today. Former Atlus USA Incorporated president and CEO Naoto Hirauku will focus on his role as Atlus brand owner and further expand the Atlus brand worldwide, the company said, adding, recognized for his contribution and leadership of Atlus USA and the resulting success of titles like Persona 5, Catherine, and SMT series. Mr. Hirauku will now move forward leading many of the company's important creative projects. Going forward, his duties will be split between a pair of Sega executives. Sega of America COO and President Ian Curran will add the role and responsibilities of Atlus USA President and COO to his plate, while Sega West CEO Tatsuki Miyazaki. Damn, I always think I'm going to be good, and I practice them too, and then just immediately just whiff every time at the plate. You know what I mean? Will also serve as Atlus CEO. Hirauku will remain on the board of directors for both Atlus USA and Sega America. There's some news for you.
There's some news.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Some people are moving around over there. Speaking of movement.
More people moving
around. Exactly. Still at gamesindustry.biz. This is Hayden Taylor. Tencent is restructuring. Of course, we've been briefing you here on Kinda Funny Games Daily as Tencent, who has a finger in every video game pie, is dealing with regulation over in China that is making them lose value and should be alarming everyone involved. With its share price tumbling amid tightened government regulations around video games, Tencent has announced its first restructuring in 6 years. The Chinese government has not issued a single game license since March 2018, slowing the world's largest games market to a crawl, falling to single-digit growth for the first time in a decade. As the leading social media and game publisher in China, Tencent has been hit particularly hard by the lockdown. The Chinese internet giant has seen a $190 billion wiped from its market value this year, from a lifetime peak in January of HK.
Like Hong Kong?
Yeah, that's what I think too, but that's not they want to say Hong Kong currency, right? Hong Kong dollars? HK, whatever that means, we're not smart enough. Kind of funny.com/wrong. From a lifetime peak in January of HK 474.60, Tencent's share prices have witnessed a protracted decline through 2018 and currently sits at HK $323.20. According to a report from Reuters, Tencent management has opted to consolidate three content business groups to form a new group for cloud and smart industries. Quote, Tencent will further explore the integration of social content and technology that is more suitable for future trends and promote the upgrade from consumer internet to industrial internet, the company said in a statement that Greg and Tim don't understand.
That sounds desperate.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Hey, we're going to figure it out. We can't do this stuff, so we're going to do that stuff.
As usual, I will point out we don't have business degrees.
No, not scientists.
We're not scientists for sure either. Tencent, again, has holdings in many of your favorite video game companies here in the West. So what all this means is their profits go down, they start to consolidate. Again, something just to keep a watchful eye on.
Yeah,
if you see something bad happen to these other sites and they're say laying something. People off and do something, yeah, say something, but understand it might be related to that. Tim?
Yes.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen with these Chinese games. Are they going to be able to make them again? Knows? Licensing is going to get issued? You know what I mean?
R-H-K,
but it's been going
Hong
on
Kong
forever.
Dollars.
What the hell is an HK? But it's still so far away. If I wanted to know something more pressing, more pertinent in the video game industry, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Astrobot Rescue Mission on PlayStation VR. You remember I talked about this one back after Judges Week, where I was like, this is awesome. It's really good. And now this motherfucker's out here getting perfect 10s.
Yeah.
People are calling it the Super Mario 64 of VR. Damn. Again, when I played it, and I loved it. I thought it was really cool. It was a great way of combining a platformer you understand, 3D platforming, with then the VR world of leaning in and getting different views and doing all this different stuff. Kind of I guess moving it. Yeah, but Moss was very 2D. Right, this was very much spinning it around and putting you into the level a little bit more. I have my code. I've been meaning to play with Poe in town this weekend. We were too busy trying to platinum Overcooked. Fist of the North Star, Lost Paradise comes to PlayStation 4. Forza Horizon 4 comes to Xbox One. Mega Man 11 comes to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. I glanced at the Reset Era thread. Pretty good reviews it looked like for that, right?
Mega Man 11? Not really.
No?
Well, I went to IGN, and it was like a 7.
Yeah, that I saw IGN lower on the scale. I saw a bunch of stuff higher. Oh,
things are higher?
Yeah, yeah. Pato Box on PlayStation Vita. That's right, it lives. Racket Fury Table Tennis VR on PlayStation VR. And then... Valtherian Arc.
Hero School Story.
PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Enjoy that one, everybody. New dates for you. Weedcraft Inc. is coming to PC in 2019.
Interesting.
Weedcraft Inc. explores the business of producing, breeding, and selling weed in America, delving deep into the financial, political, and cultural aspects of the country's complex relationship with this troublesome and promising plant. This is from Devolver put out this statement. Oh, okay. So this game's going to be fucking weird. And then Double Cross on Steam has been pushed until January. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to check in with you. The readers / listeners / viewers. Of course, be part of the show. KindofFunny.com/KFGD. Just like a whole bunch of people did. Mm-hmm. But first, I'm going to tell you, we're brought to you by Third Love and Loot Crate. Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there. The perfect bra. Mm-hmm. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they fit impeccably and feel even better. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. Skip the trip. Find your perfect fit in 60 seconds online. Order. Try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia Tap Harris loves her strapless ones.
She does.
Her friend's boyfriends love the black lacy one.
He does.
And Jen didn't love hers. Oh. She bought one too big. But Third Love's free and easy returns make it simple to get the right one.
Hell yeah.
Did you know breast shape and size matter when it comes to finding a good fit? Mm-hmm. Third Love helps you. Oh, you knew this?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Gia was telling me about it.
Okay. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape so you get the right bra to fit your style. Like I said, you get in there. It's a comfortable bra. It's tagless. You're going to have fun.
One at a time.
Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Next up, Loot Crate. Who loves Loot Crate? A monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture, collectibles, apparel, and gear. Everyone.
Cool Greg does.
Lots of my DC Comics pops are from Loot Crate. And don't get me started on all the Rick and Morty stuff Kevin has from his. And then, of course, yes, every time we get a Loot Crate here, Cool Greg's all over.
Pins.
He wants the pins so bad. This month's theme is Welcome to the Nightmare. Fight back against malevolent forces from Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead. There's even Loot Gaming now. Loot Gaming is a curated collection of exclusive, one-of-a-kind items from best-selling video game franchises. This October's crate has 4 incredible franchises, including Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead. You beat Cuphead.
I did beat Cuphead. I just realized there's DLC coming. That's so exciting.
Loot Crate packs $60 of value into each and every crate for less than $29 a month. You can't lose. Loot Crate also offers 16 other crates that you could get with anything you want. These crates will sell out. You must order this week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off on your subscription. That, again, lootcrate.com/games. Enter my code GAMES to get 30% off your subscription. What was that all about?
We'll figure it out later.
Oh, God. What did Cool Greg do? What happened? What's wrong?
Oh, no. It's good. It's sponsor stuff.
Oh, okay.
Time code stuff.
Esteban Castro Flores writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Tim.
What's up?
First of all, I wanted to let you guys know how proud I am of you for taking the initiative of creating the Kind of Funny Game Showcase and how marveled I am at the amount of people that want to take part in it. Yeah, we haven't talked about this yet on this show. Of course, last Friday, I guess, we were doing Games Daily, and right beforehand, PSX canceled. I put up a tweet. We'll do it. We'll fill the gap. We'll do a post-Game Awards press conference Saturday after Game Awards. Put out the tweet. And then my inbox has been bombarded since then with developers, both huge and small, coming wanting to be part of this showcase. So thank you, number one, to all the people who want to be a part of it. And thank you to so many of you, Kind of Funny best friends and everybody on the internet who wants to celebrate games the Hell day yeah. after and keep that momentum going that I always thought was so great with Game Awards PSX, right? This mashup of everything we love. But it's crazy, and it's already a far greater daunting success than we
have. I'm so stoked,
it's a bit
man.
Daunting, yeah.
You just got to will things into existence and then just make them good. Here's the thing, Greg.
Yeah.
You're right. You give a man a fish, he can eat the fish.
Sure.
Right? You teach him how to fish, he can fish forever.
Sure. Fishing, there's fishing left and right. Yeah.
Well, let's see what he makes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the better Play-Doh you get, the more colors you get.
Okay.
The more things you can make.
I'm lost a little bit here, yeah, but yeah.
We got a lot of cool Play-Doh.
We got a ton of Play-Doh, and I'm trying to keep the carpet hair out of here.
And that's the thing. Is like we're crafting here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for what this could end up being.
Yeah. I mean, either way. Even if it's a huge disaster, it's going to be great.
I think that, you know, we've watched press conferences for years.
We're students of the game,
Students of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't wait to do it ourselves.
Yeah. It's going to be great, and it's going to be huge, and we got to start figuring out how we're going to do it all. And, yeah, yesterday that was the thing. When I started answering emails at the bar while I was watching the Bears game, and then I looked at it, I'm like, wow, I've been answering for like an hour and a half, and I still have so many more to go.
They keep coming, man.
And they keep coming.
That's a good idea.
Anyways, back to Esteban. Now I have a three-question question regarding the showcase, some of which you may not be able to answer yet, but feel free to answer just the question you actually can at the moment. Number one, how are you guys going to handle the possible length of the showcase? Do you have a maximum length you don't desire to surpass, or you guys have no problem with that at all?
I am a producer. And I am a big fan of keeping things tight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope that this thing, like, it cannot be longer than 2 hours. Cannot be.
Agreed.
No matter what.
Agreed. Even 2 hours. Rather, yeah, okay.
If in a perfect world for me, it's 1 hour. That's going to be hard.
That should be the goal. That's a fast clip of what we have right now.
And that's my thing, dude. Let's fucking go.
I think we can do it. I mean, the whole point is it just can't sag anywhere. And that's what we've all seen when you go to anybody's press conference and it's going great at a great clip, and then they get to something that, like, not even nobody cares about. It's just presented poorly. I can deal with you showing me a game that I'm not into if it's just presented well and it's gone through.
You know what's awesome about this is, and correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
This might be the first time ever there's a press conference that's everybody. All the different developers and publishers are welcome. You know what I mean? Game Awards makes a bunch of announcements, but it's not a press conference.
Sure. You could do that PC thing they do, but that's just PC games. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody else is usually a company. I guess you're, an agnostic.
This
thing.
Is
Limited
really,
Run kind of does everybody. They did one that was kind of everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
Devolver's only Devolver games.
Yeah. But bringing people together.
We're going to bring people together.
Good times.
So yeah, the answers we give you today are kind of bullshit. We'll figure it out as we go. That's the thing. I mean, we're giving you what we know, but like the thing keeps changing and evolving as we go. Number two, how do you believe you will award how much time? How are you going to decide how much time you give it is basically what you want to say. That's case by case.
Whatever's
basis,
right.
What the game needs, what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Again, for me, keep it tight.
Yeah. Number three. That's Xavier Woods thing. You can't just steal that.
I'm stealing it.
Okay. Number three and finally. Oh, no, sorry. Number three. There's a fourth. What approach do you have in mind for the showcase? Will you try to go for a regular game conference, or will it be more of a Nintendo Direct with a kind of funny spin on it? I think it's all that.
It's all that together.
Right? Because we've talked about it. That it's going to be us presenting as a press conference and then kicking to packages and to trailers submitted people, which is more of a direct thing.
I would say, and again, we're just spitballing.
We'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a Nintendo Direct, but with a lot more hype.
Okay.
You know what I mean? A lot more presentation.
Sure, presentation.
And a lot of, excitement.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Smash Brothers comes to the Direct sometimes. I don't know if we can beat that hype, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not that type of hype.
Okay,
I'm talking about more hype of, montages.
Awesome montages and stuff and, cool things.
The thing, one of my favorite things about Sony's conferences are the hype montages, right? Nintendo doesn't do that.
Sure.
So you
good
take
point.
That, you add that.
We're
to
definitely
the
doing that. We're definitely having some hype in here. Finally, just wanted to end by telling you that I can't wait to see what you guys have to show us. I'm sure you will blow our minds like you always do. That's the plan, Esteban. And if we fuck it up, that's just kind of funny. This is how kind of funny does it. Here we go. Game Jumper X, in the parentheses, Aaron wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with no PSX this year, does that mean we will not get PSN name changes this year? Is Sony saving it for PlayStation 5? In the wake of PlayStation experience not happening.
Yeah.
The in my feed, for sure, the number one and two things I've seen are the showcase we announced and then this meme of Sean Layden and me on stage where him basically saying, the elves are working on the PSN name changes. Hopefully this time next year we'll have something to announce. And then the thing of PSX is not happening this year.
Yeah. With the Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Well, that's not Eddie Murphy.
Is that not?
No. It looks like one of his characters, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
Fuck, am I super
wrong? I thought
it
was a guy from we have to look up Know Your Meme on this. Hmm. But I think it's a... I don't think so. I think it's a guy from...
I could have sworn it was Eddie Murphy.
Isn't it the... No. I want to say it's from a music video. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Kindofunny.com/you're wrong, please.
Exactly, please. Go to Know Your Meme and explain it to us. I think, obviously, PSX isn't happening because of everything PlayStation said. We're not ready. We don't think it's the right time. Blah, blah, blah. If PSN name changes are coming, as they've been rumored to forever, including the guy who wrote into this show saying that they would have happened in August or September or whatever, that he had inside information. Well, guess what, motherfucker? It's October 1. I still think that's... If that's coming, that's coming, and that's regardless of PSX.
I also don't necessarily think that's a PSN. That's a blog update,
sure.
I think.
Kind of funny game showcase.
It'd be great.
I'll tell right now, PlayStation, Sean Layden, if you want to be our one more thing, and that's what you do, come out and say.
Hell yeah.
I'm all down that. For that. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I don't think that's the reason. I think it's a funny meme to toss out there and have fun with, but no, that's not what's happening. John Bowen says, do you think the abundance of multiplayer games on PlayStation VR is misguided? There seems to be a lot of them, which seems dangerous for such a small user base. Personally, I'd much rather prefer to see more single player games, even if short titles.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. What's interesting about the PlayStation VR community is how tight-knit they are and how into PlayStation VR people are and how supportive that subreddit is. And so the fact that Firewall Zero Hour is out and me and Kevin love playing it and want to play more of it all the time. And when we go online, there are tons of people to play with. And when we tweet it out, there are tons of people to play with. That's great. I know Rec Room, obviously another online one that does it. Rec Room's been out a while, but that game's still getting updates. It still seems like there's a community behind it. You could find it. It's an interesting line to walk, right? Of how do you make something cool that you believe in and you guys have a vision for and you think that PlayStation VR is tech. VR is tech, can bring something different to it, but how do you not overwhelm a user base that is not struggling but growing and is steadily growing but not explosively growing and doesn't want to necessarily spend $360 a month on games they should be playing?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I saw about the Astrobot in one of the reviews today. They were saying, you know, for what Firewall is to PlayStation VR multiplayer games, this is what this is to in terms of killer apps to single player gaming. I think it's a case by case structure and developers and all these different things in terms of what they're looking for. There are a lot of multiplayer games out there that I'll never touch, but there's also a lot of PlayStation VR games that I look at and I'm just like, nah, I wasn't gonna play this to begin with.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's one way or the other. I think if you can come out, as I think Firewall's proven, and hey, we have a great fucking idea here and we have a great game here, it's going to succeed and work, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you come out with a mid-tier whatever game, it doesn't matter if it's multiplayer or single player, it's going to struggle.
Totally.
Again, as always, too many great games right now to just come out and be decent. Noam Chomsky writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Howdy doodly, best friends. To jump right into it, I feel as if Metro Exodus is getting shafted on all fronts of media since February when they got the cover story from Game Informer. I feel as if it's being overlooked despite them releasing tons of information about it. I am super hyped to find out how Artonome's story ends this story. Why do you think this game is not talked about as much as we are getting closer to its release? Thank you for an amazing show. Hope you all have a great day. Where's all the hype for Metro?
The buzz from the press at E3 was really down on this game.
That is the great point.
I didn't see it, but I was with Brandon Jones, who he saw, and like a lot of the guys when I went to the Kingdom Hearts event.
Sure.
Everyone was talking about how disappointed they were.
Would you be shocked to know you're sharing a table with one of those people?
Oh my God.
We saw it at when we went to Judges Week for E3, Metro was one of the night things, and it was, woof. It was rough. It was rough around the edges. It crashed all the time. It just wasn't fun. And you talk about like, why is E3 important, right? E3 is a time when you can get your game in front of so many different eyes. And if you make the right impression, people talk about it and they remember it. And I can sit here, even though I haven't played the review copy of Astrobot, and be like, Astrobot was awesome when I played it. Totally makes sense. Let's talk more about why that game worked. We can get away from E3, and I'll talk about Tetris Effect and other games that I played that aren't just PlayStation VR games that I'm excited about, right? That made an impression on me in the positive sense.
Yeah.
In the negative sense.
Dying Light 2 looked awesome.
Right. In the negative sense, right, I see Metro Exodus, and for me personally, I didn't connect with either of the first two Metro games. Never cared. They announced this one, and I'm like, all right, cool. It's at the Xbox conference. It has that, you know, oh, man, it looks really pretty. And then getting on the sticks, just being like, oh, man, this is just another forgettable game that I would have chalked up the other Metros to be, which I know a lot of people like the original Metros. I'm not shitting on what you like. But it's just that they whiffed. They struck out at the plate that time, which now you see the cycle of it now. Like, how do you get that goodwill back? How do you get people excited about it again? I don't know.
I don't know.
And that's the biggest thing of why you're not hearing from it, I think, is the fact that, okay, people didn't care. We got it in front of them and you didn't care. Maybe now you do a different one. The game's in a better spot. You identify the big Metro fans. You get it to them. They evangelize it. You go that way. But for me personally, yeah, the ship sailed on it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, no. I didn't care about the other ones. I'm not going to care about this one. Damn.
Where do you want to take me, Greg?
I know. I'm thinking about it. I want to take you on a ride, brother, but I want to figure out where. Always you know what I mean? Too. I want to, and I don't want to do that one. Well, I mean, maybe I'll do that one, but that's not where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I feel like this one pairs kind of with what we were just talking about. Stead Jonat wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and I feel like I might have just summoned someone from another dimension by saying it like that. Hi, Greg and whoever. Sorry, I forgot. It's Tim. Don't worry. With Tomb Raider apparently not selling as well as they hoped, do you think long-tailed DLC might be part of the issue? I ask because after playing Horizon Zero Dawn and Breath of the Wild last year, and in both cases going back to the DLC many months after completing them, and then being terrible at the game, I've decided with both Tomb Raider and Spider-Man to wait until all the DLC is out and play it in one go. It, to some degree, probably colored my perception of the game. I remember really enjoying Horizon the first time through, but giving up on the DLC after a short period of time because I was frustrated, because I knew 6 months ago this would have been easy and a lot more fun. Waiting also has the added benefit of when they finally finish Tomb Raider DLC in April, I believe I'm going to guess the game will be quite a bit cheaper. I know companies seem to want to give games a long tail and get you to come back, parentheses, and it has worked on me with Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I've not stopped playing since release. But with something like Tomb Raider or Spider-Man to give me, are they games? He's, you know where we're going with this question. Stead Jonat, you got to start using periods. But other than that, you're fine.
I don't think that long-term DLC affects sales upfront of games.
I don't think it helps the majority. I do think there's gamers like John that are like, no, like I'm going to wait to a Game of the Year edition, whatever. But absolutely. I'm the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, but I don't think that, like, those people wouldn't have bought the game anyways. It's not just because the DLC that they're waiting. That's because that they're smart consumers.
Yeah. Tomb Raider, I feel like, that is not the problem. With all due respect, as somebody who's in the industry and reads all this stuff every day, I had forgotten that Tomb Raider had a long tail DLC.
Yeah.
It's just a game that came out at a bad time and didn't look that great when it did. It didn't look like something you have to play right now. You have to be all over this thing, right? And that's the struggle that it has. That that's why it's struggling there. I don't think it's because of this. It's an interesting takeaway with Spider-Man. They're going to wait till The City That Never Sleeps is done. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I do think it's helpful that Spider-Man's DLC is 3 months after release, though. Mm-hmm. Right? Once a month.
Totally.
Like, cool. That's
that actually keeps it going, and then it ends at an appropriate time.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not, I feel like when I get in, I'm still going to know how to play Spider-Man. Because Horizon, I was the same way with Frozen Wilds. Can't wait. Got it. Oh, fuck. Wait. Like, I'm still in my main map. What am I doing? How do I do this?
Single player DLC is so hard. Like, I just don't know if we'll ever get what people want from it. Because the problem is, it's either too little or too much. The moment it's too much, it's like, why isn't this its own game? The moment that it's too little, it's just like, oh, I'm just getting more tasks of things I don't really want to do. I'm interested in Spider-Man, of how it's going to handle it. I don't think it's going to be great. I think the DLC is going to be forgettable and just
forgettable,
more
okay.
things to do.
I think it's going to be like, you get a quest line. A simple quest line of like 3, 4, 5 missions that are like, for like Black Cat's all we know, right? So it's going to be, she is back in town. This is what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I found her stuff. I see her in this cutscene. I run after her. I take down something. I stop something. She gets away at the end.
It feels so inconsequential. I don't know. Like, I feel like Uncharted Lost Legacy is a perfect example of, like, it made its own thing.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't just more Uncharted. I guess Left Behind was a bit more in line with what I would want from DLC.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I feel like
Frozen Wilds, like, all right, it happens. And, sure. And then Breath of the Wild's like, that's just more.
I see. I think that's a great call. Oh, so stick with me. Frozen Wilds and Breath of the Wild were, yeah, there's more. Okay, cool. You can play it or you didn't. I played Frozen Wilds and I would struggle right now to tell you what exactly happened in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was snowy. There was new monsters. it was fun to play, right? And
it was wild.
And this gets into the argument that I always make with God of War, where I think God of War was such a perfect experience. Don't make DLC for it. Don't Absolutely. Take away from it. And I think Horizon, if they had shipped with Frozen Wilds or just not even done Frozen Wilds, would have been in that same category. If I didn't need more. Mm-hmm. You ended great. I'm excited for your sequel. Spider-Man, and this might be, you know, on the train that everybody else is to, of whether you're not a platinumer, but you're 100%ing, you're doing more crimes and shit. I love that world and that gameplay mechanic so much that I don't mind. It is just like, Black Cat was never going to be the star of the next game, so here she is doing this thing. Like, it's, as long as DLC 2 or 3 isn't, and it won't be, obviously, isn't the symbiote storyline, right? And it's totally half-assed and half-baked, yeah, which they would never do. They're going to give everybody their due.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing of, like, what if it's just, you know, DLC 2 is like, oh, man, we're actually going to go after the Taskmaster. Yeah, Taskmaster. You know what yeah. I mean? I'd be fine with that. Like, here's some just shit yeah. to do in the world. Totally.
I just feel like maybe not every game needs DLC.
And
like,
sure.
Like, Zelda probably didn't need it, whereas Mario Odyssey could definitely use it. And we haven't seen that, you know?
Yeah, give me that Luigi Mansion world.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me know what you think about this.
At Tim Gettys.
Yeah.
Except for when he's in Bali.
Yeah.
In line with this conversation, Caleb wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Kinda Funny hosts. A few months ago, I played Life is Strange 1 with my wife and was super excited that it was a game that she finally got excited about video games with. So, when Life is Strange 2 came out, we both flew through episode 1 loving every second of the emotional experience. When I explained to her that it may be a few months before we get to play more Life is Strange, she was disappointed. My question is, do you think releasing a game in parts, months apart, is still a good idea? It seems to me, when you consider people's short attention span and the amount of great games coming out, that an episodic game could get lost in the mix. Thanks, guys. I think this is a game-by-game decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not all games are created equal. Yeah. I think if you were to sit down and ask the developers who worked on Tomb Raider if they would like a Life is Strange kind of rollout, not breaking Tomb Raider up episodically, but once every few months, they get talked about as if they're a brand new game, they would say undoubtedly yes. This is the solution, right? The antidote to the problem of, hey, our game came out around all these big games and got forgotten. Fuck. It's, you know, that you come out and you miss that. You have a wet fart as your fucking announcement and it's over. You're done. Yeah. Whereas Life is Strange can come out. And I know I saw over the weekend maybe or on Friday afternoon, somebody tweeting about PC numbers on Life is Strange and how it was like 1/4 the concurrence of what the original game did. And that sucks, but it's also a game that's going to gain steam. Like, mm-hmm. It's only going to get better, you assume, is that episode 2 comes out and 3 comes out and it turns a corner and everybody's like, holy shit, this is great. You need to play it. Okay, it's episode 1 is now included as a PS Plus thing or mm-hmm. Xbox Games with Gold or Twitch Prime. And suddenly there is another movement of, oh my God, I got to get to it. Let alone the fact, like, this is just like, where The Walking Dead and Telltale, you know, rest in peace, works so well in terms of promotion, where it was that just like, yeah, like you always get another shot with these games to make that first impression, which is unheard of.
Yeah, it is. I just don't know if that is true, though, in the actual way that it works. Like when Walking Dead season 2 episode, whatever, like when it's sure. just like the episodic ones that aren't the first game yeah. of the season, I feel like it's like a blog post on IGN that'll like go through, but it doesn't get like an actual real push again, you mm-hmm. know? Like, it's so many times we'll be doing Gamescast, and before we do the show, I ask you, like, oh, what have you played? And it's like kind of like, oh, yeah, I played the new Batman episode or whatever. And it's like, it's a weird thing to talk about almost.
Sure. This is something that I think Life is Strange 2 does have to wrestle with to an extent. It's also the fact that this is what Telltale struggled with, is it's never as good as season 1 in terms of like that pop, right? Mm-hmm. Batman, the story with Batman season 1 was, holy shit, they are building their own universe. Every episode is doing something different. Same thing with Walking Dead. Oh my God, I can't. So when season 2 of Walking Dead dropped or season 2 of Batman dropped, it was like, All right, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you should play it if you want to hear a Batman story, but whatever, you know what I mean? Whereas with Life is Strange 2, I think it actually being a 2, it actually is different characters. It is a different power. It is a different storyline. It is going to continue, I think, to make headlines for the fact that it's wrestling with like political and social commentary in a way that the first game didn't. You know what I mean? That wasn't what it was. You were just angsty teenagers dealing with all sorts of emotions and time travel. Well, yeah, time travel. Like, that was a different game than this game is. And it's always going to be hard to get that because it was lightning in a bottle, like Life is Strange 1, and it was a snowball down the hill and get bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't think it's fair to compare episode 1 of 2 to that because you don't know what you're going to get. But I do think that they benefit from 3 months from now when another one drops or another two have dropped, if they are excellent, of being like, man, you really do need to pick this up. All right, I'll go buy it. You know what I mean? Like they're still getting talked about in a way that other games don't. Episodic games do that in a certain way.
Yeah.
I do wish, like, to your point, Caleb, and I'm not briefed right now on Life is Strange 2, that it was a more strict release date schedule.
Yeah.
I did like that about Walking Dead season, or final season, where they were like, finally, like, here are the dates. We are hitting these dates. This is when you can expect these episodes.
Yeah.
Sucks that we only got two of them before everything went to hell, but it sucks more that those people lost their jobs. I'm going to double back here, Tim.
Yeah.
Because I'm already at the end. I want to see, is there any questions I want to hit that I missed? No. No, now we're going to stop. That's it. That's the show.
Okay.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time playing them games. God of Steel needs help on Steam. God of Steel's Steam name is God of Steel. You'll notice he has a Geralt icon from The Witcher. Hey, man. You want to shoot some bullets and break some walls? Come do it with me in Rainbow Six Siege, a.k.a. a fun time. If you want to have a fun time with God of Steel, hit up God of Steel, all one word, and have a fun time on us. Wink. Tim?
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What do we screw up today?
Lord of Pwn says Hong Kong dollar.
Hong Kong dollar is what they call it.
HK equals 13 U.S. cents.
No. Okay.
Mega Man 11's actually out tomorrow, says Zaire.
Thank you, Zaire.
The Phantom 0288 says, Angry Greg voice, you didn't talk about the Nintendo Switch VR headset that was announced. What?
That's new to me. I didn't see that. Is that breaking while we're on the show?
NintendoLife.com/news. I can only see the URL. Nintendo Switch is about to get its first VR-style headset, but there's a catch.
Nintendo Life, we said? .com? Yeah, I'll look into that.
The Ass Captain.
Yeah. Says, right. Yes, I like where this is going already.
With your meme confusion, it's from a British comedy show from BBC Three. Toby says the man is not, in fact, Eddie Murphy. His name is RS, a.k.a. Rollsafe, a guy from London who made his own mockumentary about the hood. I could have sworn it was Eddie Murphy.
He looks like Eddie Murphy, not in Raw, but like in one of those older things. I'm with you that I understand why you'd think that. Here we go.
The KFGD guy says, just wanted to update the world with the fact that Tim's still verified on Instagram while Craig is not. new dates from Zaire. Asterisk and Obelix XXL2 is coming in November 29th for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Yeah, this is a Canadian company has made a third-party VR-style headset for the console. Called the and I'm reading from NintendoLife.com. Called the NS Glasses. This kit has been described as the world's first headset for Switch, which is only partly true, but this one is exclusive to the system at least. Sitting on the user's head in a similar fashion to VR headsets currently available on the market. So yeah, you slide your Switch in here and it just sits on your face
like
this.
Is it Nintendo official?
No. I mean, unless I'm missing, I mean, it's third party. It features a locking mechanism to keep your Switch. Of course it does. I'm not here yet.
And then the final thing comes from Enoch. Regarding Friday's show, Greg was right about the game Catastronauts being a play on the words catastrophe and astronauts and not cat astronauts as in felines.
Thank you.
It kind of looks like Overcooked, but you're running a spaceship instead of a kitchen. There's no cats.
Well, the main issue, here is that the Switch simply isn't a VR capable device. Rather than being a true VR experience, the NS glasses use color switching technology to draw specific shades, giving the impression of a 3D visual inside your headset. It also smooths some pixel count to give off the impression of higher resolution, but as we know, the Switch's screen displays at 720p. Who submitted this one?
I don't know.
Look at it. Look at it. Open it up again. I'll wait.
The Phantom 0288.
The Phantom 0288. You are banned from your wrong. That was a terrible edition.
Oh my God.
It was not. We weren't wrong about it. Brutal. It wasn't even news. Do you work for the people making these glasses? And I'm not knocking the people at Nintendo Life. Good on them. And I'm not knocking the people making the glasses. Good on them for making something.
But you, Phantom.
You're wrong, Phantom, on that? You're wrong on that. When you could have just gone to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You could have submitted it there. We could have talked about it tomorrow, maybe. But now instead, you don't want to talk about tomorrow? Your fucking funeral. Virtually, because we're not really getting, we're not going to kill you. We're burying you, though, on Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's over for you. And we're not actually going to talk about it tomorrow. I'm going to forget all about it. Speaking of tomorrow, tomorrow's hosts are me and Jared. Wednesday, it's me and Witta. Thursday, it's Jared and Steve from Nintendo Everything. And then Friday, Greg Miller, Alana Pierce, doing Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Hell yeah.
If you didn't know, each and every weekday here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that,
I like it.
YouTube. Twitch, podcast services, Kind of Funny Games, pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. You go there, you can enjoy the shows, you can have a good time. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give us a few bucks, say, hey, good job, pat us on the head.
Will, if you haven't already, go to twitter.com/gameovergreggy and retweet his pinned tweet about the Kind of Funny Games showcase. I want to get that thing over 1,000 retweets.
Go ahead and invite your favorite devs to it as well, because that's actually been incredibly helpful, and a lot of them have done it. Some would say too many. Who cares? We'll figure it out. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.